Hi HPR fans, this is 3:30, and today I'm going to be playing for you a lecture that was given at the Morrison Reeves Library called The Linux Alternative. The presenter is Bill Kreps. He's the technology director of Northeastern High School, and this was on Tuesday, February 17th, in the barred room at Morrison Reeves Library.
Going to boot from the DVD, then we come up to this, so my connector. We're going to see a lot of stuff that really doesn't mean anything. Now, while this is happening, a little word about Linux. People who worked in Linux for years and years, and people who worked in Unix before that, they didn't care for any of the fancy stuff you see on Windows. They didn't care for fancy screens. They didn't care for icons or shortcuts. Everything they did from the command line, where you type in your commands. Linux is still like that, but what they have done is they have built what's called a graphical user interface that sits on top of the operating system. The cool thing about Linux is you get your graphical user interface, you get your icons, you get to use your mouse and all that, but if that fails, you can still get into the operating system at the command line and you can work with the system. Which is neat, because sometimes you can lose your display manager. If you can go into the command line, you can usually recover it. All right. Up here. The world of computers is wait. Okay, so I have a feeling everything has just gone upside down on me. But I okay. What are we going to do here? I guess we're not going to worry about the installation. I guess we're just going to start here. This is the desktop. We got our icons and the shortcuts here, and we have our ability to come down here. So, why don't I start at this point? What's the most important thing to you about your to what you do on your computer? If you get a machine, what do you want to do with it? Desktop publishing?
Word processing,
internet, stuff like that. Okay. We have a program. Let's go to word processing first. There's a program called OpenOffice. And what OpenOffice is it's a suite just like Microsoft Office. It consists of word processing. Word processor, just like you might see in Microsoft Office. We can type text on here. We can insert pictures and stuff like this. Let me see, insert. I'm at a disadvantage here. Picture from file. Can you bear with me for just a minute? I cannot see my screen. I need to change that so you can. We have OpenOffice, which contains are, which has the following utilities. We've got the word processing package, we also have the spreadsheet package. Looks just like Microsoft Excel. Have any of you used Excel before? Okay, good. Has Excel. The version of OpenOffice that comes from Novell. Again, OpenOffice is open source. Anybody can make changes to that program, add enhancements, stuff like that. The one weakness with OpenOffice spreadsheet is it by default doesn't support macros that Excel would use. Novell went in and they added enhancements to OpenOffice Calc so that it would support limited macro capabilities. We also have in Office, if you've used PowerPoint, OpenOffice also includes a PowerPoint type product. And what I'm doing here is going through the wizard to set up a PowerPoint. Click on next and create. And if you've worked with PowerPoint, looks very similar. At the most part, works basically the same. Notice here I also have all these applications running at the same time. Just to show you that there's not a whole lot of difference visually between Windows and Linux running this product called OpenOffice. By the way, you may ask, where can I get OpenOffice at? If I jump over to the internet here, and go ahead and restart that, come up to Google, and you've all seen Google before, OpenOffice, search on that, and go to openoffice.org, and this is where you can actually obtain it from. All the software that you'd ever want to use on Linux is available off of the internet. There's no need anymore to go to a store and buy a package that has the CD or DVD in there. You can simply download that product that you want and install it. Another application here. And by the way, if you have questions and I'm not coming near that, please let me know.
I got one real quick for you that you were just talking about. You said you could go to the internet and get anything. Now, I used Linux, Dandros, and Nopix.
Mm-hmm.
And with it, I had to go through their program of getting to download. I couldn't just go. I tried to go to Google and do the Linux program to download it, and I never had no luck with it. Is this version here that you just gave us, is it any different for that? Or?
That's actually good, and that's a semi-complex question, but with Windows, any software written for Windows is going to work when you put in the media and install it. And the reason why it will work is because Microsoft has a set of rules that people have to follow to make software run on their operating system. In the world of Linux, this is where some of the confusion comes in. You've got Zandros, you've got SUS Linux Enterprise, or we'll just call it SUS, you've got Ubuntu, you've got Mandrake. There are all these different entities that are producing their flavor of Linux. They're all kind of the same, but in some ways they're not the same. So there are some people who are producing their flavor of Linux, and they've tried to make it really simple on people like us by having a repository where if you want a particular application, you go to their site and you install it from their installation source. And they're doing that because they've put together the package for that program so that it will install and operate properly on their flavor of Linux. Does that not make sense to anybody? If it doesn't make sense, say something now, because this is one of the real negatives about Linux, is that it's much more wild and out in the frontier than it is with Microsoft. Microsoft wants to make sure that when you buy a product and install it, it's going to work. No questions asked. With Linux, depending on whose version of Linux you're using, there are many occasions where the program that you want to install has to be custom tailored to work on that version of Linux. There's a reason for that. We're not going to touch that here, because we're talking about the kernel at this point. And the kernel is really the very heart of what makes the whole operating system work. That's probably why. Now, for SUSE Linux Enterprise, or SUSE, most people can get programs to work on these things just fine, but you actually have to do what you don't do in Windows, and that is go out and find these certain utilities, install them in order to take the program to, in essence, recompile it in a way that it works on your version of Linux. Does that not make sense?
Would you go over that, or how it does on this version of Linux, how do you install?
Well, here, let me show you something here. Let me close out this stuff, just cut that, close that. I tried to get a program installed on this computer before I came in this evening, and it was a program called NuCache. This one right here that I'm showing you, This program here actually it helps you do all of your home finances, your checkbook, your savings account. It helps you manage all that. By the way, did I say this is free? It's open source. Well, when I tried to run that program, CD. I'm at the command line here. This program, I can't just install it by clicking on something like setup, because all of this stuff which came in the program package doesn't include a particular item whereby this version of Linux can just run the installer and install it. On this program here, I actually have to do this .configure. I run this. Now what it's doing, this is examining everything installed on the operating system, making sure that I can actually create an installer to load this program. And today I got all the way to the end, and even though I've installed this slib utility, it can't find it. I can't install that program until I can resolve that problem. When a program is written specifically for a particular version of Linux, you don't have to go through this. It's as easy as going to minimize this, close this. For example, let's open up stuff. Right here, here's my slib program. This RPM package this version of Linux knows exactly what to do with it. It's as easy as right-clicking on it and going down to Actions and Install with Yast. Yast, yet another system tool. It's basically the utility that enables you to install software. That is all I have to do. In a matter of seconds, this is going to examine that little program, and it's going to, it's talking to Novell and a couple other places across the internet, and now it's looking at the media that I have on the computer.
And it's downloading this.
Yep. And then it's doing stuff that in Windows you never have to do.
Now that it's done that, could you go back and install that other program?
I tried that three different times. I tried setting an environment variable, that is setting a variable to tell the computer exactly where SLIP is installed. So, of course, I went on to Google and I typed in some words to describe my problem. Lo and behold, I found out other people were having the same problem. And there isn't a definite fix for this problem. There's a thing called definite luck. Some people have resolved the problem. I'm one of those who didn't resolve the problem tonight. So, and it's all done.
Does that RPM have to be for your version of Linux?
No. RPM, Red Hat Package Manager. Anything that you download that is in a .rpm package, SUSE knows how to work with it. If you use Red Hat's version of Linux, it knows how to work with it because it stands for Red Hat Package Manager. And this version of Linux knows exactly what to do with something that is packaged like that and installed.
So if you could find this program as an RPM, you wouldn't have any trouble with
it. You said it was Debian that you're using?
No.
There were Debian variants. It was Canopix. And
that's the other problem.
You would have to find a package that was a .deb.
Right.
.deb.
Mm-hmm.
Or what's that?
It stands for Debian. It would be a Debian package.
If you go to a particular website where they have a product that they make for Linux, oftentimes you'll see they'll have two or three different types of packages. But what I suspect you're going to find out is you're going to have a hard time finding those, and that's why you have to go back to Debian to find packages designed to run on their operating system. They should have what is called a repository. A repository is basically a place on their website where they have all these different programs that they have designed to work properly with
their operating system. And they have a link that automatically came up for that on the desktop. But there's other things that I was finding on the web through Google searches and stuff that was for Linux
right.
that I was trying to get to work that I never had no luck with, sort of like what you just did on that other one. It would give me that whole, you know, the line, and I just really wouldn't know what to do with it. By the time I got to the end, I just had a big mess of stuff installed, but nothing actually working. It wasn't through the actual Zendros or Navi.
And the problem with that is that there are these things called dependencies. Now, again, to go back to Windows, you don't have any dependency problems because anyone who writes a program to work in Windows has already done all the programming so that it doesn't need anything more. When you install it, everything's there, it's good to go. In Linux, they could actually update the kernel. That is the very part of the operating system. I think the kernel is what